appreciate the folks from Black Creek, Glutton for Punishment, being here. And you could have stalled a little bit longer. Might have helped me try to figure out what I'm supposed to do. And so, sister, your testimony, if I flop tonight, it's your fault. Because I thought I knew where I was going until you gave your testimony. So go to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. This is one of those, I've been joking this week about titles. And this is the title that I'm most proud of. Of all the messages I got, Brother Dale, this is the title that I'm most proud of. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus went, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens opened, were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I want to preach to you on this thought, the most depressing message of encouragement. The most depressing message of encouragement. You might laugh, but you probably won't shout. And like all messages, you may not need this right now. Amen. But you might need it down the road.
Amen. Uh-huh.
And so here we have in Matthew chapter number 3, we have the baptism of John. And so look at here who attended the baptism of John. So we have verse 16, it says the heavens were opened up and we had the Spirit of God and descending upon it like a dove. And then we had a voice from heaven saying, or not the baptism of John, the baptism of Jesus. I'm getting confused here. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So we have the Trinity here. And can you imagine John getting to baptize Jesus?
Amen.
How about that for your next prayer letter? I mean, every missionary and evangelist does everything with the next prayer letter in mind. Right? And so he puts out the prayer letter that he got to baptize Jesus. And then go over to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11, and look at verse number 1. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." So here we have John going from baptizing Jesus to prison. That is not how it was supposed to turn out.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's an addendum to the prayer letter.
Yeah, amen.
And so it said here that he sent two of his disciples to Jesus, and he says, "Art thou he that we that should come, or do we look for another?" And I find it interesting in verse number 4, Jesus answered and said to him, "Go and show John again." Now, here is God the Son, and the man that baptized him is now in prison. He did not tell those two disciples, "Go tell John, I'm working on a plan to get him out of prison."
Amen.
He could have got him out of prison.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
But he didn't.
Nope.
And to put it just mildly, Jesus didn't do anything about him being in prison. Nothing. Go over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Look at verse number 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And look what Jesus said in verse 32. "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus could have said, now, Peter, the devil wants to get you, he wants to sift you, but I'm going to stop him. But that's not what he said.
No, it is not.
He said, "Satan wants to sift you as wheat, but I just want you to know, I prayed for you." Again, humanly speaking, that's not what we want to hear.
No.
We want to hear, I'm working a plan. The jailhouse doors are going to open. I'm going to deliver John from prison. Peter wants to hear, "Look, Satan desired to have you, but I'm going to get in between you and him, and he is not going to bother you." So what did Jesus do for John as far as prison? Nothing. What did Jesus do for Peter as far as stopping the devil from sifting him? Nothing. Aren't you encouraged? I said it's the most depressing message of encouragement. The word sift is to separate. Now, can I tell you tonight that Satan wants to separate you from some things?
Uh-huh.
Satan wants to separate you from the joy of the Lord. How is it that you could go through prison, you could go through a sifting, and still be joyful? Satan wants to separate you from your time with God. And he does that very successfully nowadays. He wants to separate you from the voice of God. He don't want you hearing the voice of God. We've got some men in here that are called to preach. We have pastors in here. We've got a preacher, a missionary in here. You know what Satan has desired to sift us from? He has desired to sift us from the call of God on our lives. I mean, the devil would love to see Brother Dale Morey get out of the prison ministry. He would love to see the last few months of Brother Asquith being a pastor be just a horrendous time.
Right.
He would love to see, amen, Brother Ronnie, some of you other men called to preach, to never preach again. Amen. He would love to see Brother Cassiola. He'd love to see you and your life destroyed and you never be a preacher again. Amen. He wants to separate us from some things. He wants to separate us from our walk with God and our determination to stand. And listen, Jesus did not deliver Peter from the devil, but he could have, but he didn't. And now, go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. We looked at this verse this morning, but I want to, a lot of times we look at 1 Peter 5:8, And we forget that there's a colon at the end of that verse, and we don't finish the thought. First Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Same thought, continued on, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Would you not agree? I mean, we know that Peter denied the Lord three times, but would you at least not agree that he knew what he was talking about when he was saying resist him? The man who did get sifted, he fell. He's telling us, basically, in verse 9, don't do what I did.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to sift you. But you need to resist him.
Right. Amen.
You want to know why we mess up? It's not the temptation that is the problem. It's us yielding to the temptation. It's us giving in to the temptation. It's not the devil sifting us. It's us handing the devil the sifter. And say, here, hang on to this while I get in. How many ways in a few days meeting can a preacher say that we are our own problem?
Amen.
The first few years of our marriage were very difficult. And they were very difficult, Brother Asquith, not because of my wife, but because of me. I did not go to the pastor and say, preacher, the woman God gave me.
Come on.
And listen, because we don't resist him, it's a fight. The Christian life is a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that people go down and quit and get out and are sifted is because they don't withstand. They do not stand and fight. Man, Brother Craig, the Christian life is a battle. Yes, it is a battle. The problem is not the battle. The problem is when you quit fighting. When you don't resist him. Now, by definition, the word resist means you're going to have to put some labor and effort into it.
Amen.
It's not just going to happen. Yeah. It's going to take some work on your part.
Yeah.
Okay, so John's in prison and Peter gets sifted. Let's go to the book of Job. Chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Look at verse number 6. Job chapter 1, verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down. And the Lord said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Job didn't find himself in prison. Job didn't find himself, amen, wanting to be sifted. The Lord offered Job to Satan. And he did not ask Job what he thought about that. The Lord didn't all of a sudden show up to Job and say, well, the devil really wants to get somebody, and well, I put your name out there. But he didn't just offer Job to Satan once, he did it twice.
Yeah.
He offered, he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And then Satan has all these reasons why Job would do it. He said, "No, okay, go ahead and do it." Do you know that God does not ask us whether we want to go through that storm? God does not ask us if we're volunteering for the hard times, for the valley, and then we know the story. Job lost everything that he had. His wife did not understand. What a great encouragement she was. Let's curse God and die.
Yeah, right.
You look in the Bible, and from this cover to this cover, it's full of people who suffered.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Christian life is full of suffering. We go through things that we would rather not go through. I referenced this real quickly at the end of the message this afternoon, or this morning. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We see Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, Paul knew that what he was, that messenger of Satan, the reason was so he wouldn't get exalted above measure.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes God sends us through storms to humble us.
Yes. Come on.
Yeah.
We get, listen, I'm just being honest with you. You got to admit it. Sometimes we think because we're saved, we just get cocky about it.
Right.
Uh-huh. We just think that we're better than people, and we think that, you know, this shouldn't happen to us, and I don't deserve this hard time. I don't deserve this trial. I don't do that. But there's a word in there. It says there, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. It does not say there was sent to me a thorn. It said there was given to me.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you know what that thorn was to Paul? It was a gift.
Uh-huh.
You know what the storms are that we go through in this life are? Quit looking at them as something that God is doing to you, and maybe something that God is doing for you.
Amen.
If you look at, God was not going to take that away from Paul because it was a gift to Paul. And so we look at it, we say, "Lord, take away this problem, get rid of this storm." And the Lord replies, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Here's what we do. We say, "God, I need you to change my circumstances." And God says, "No, you need my grace."
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
"God, I need you to fix things." God says, "No, that's not what you need. You need my grace."
That's good, brother.
If we are to go through storms, whether it's a prison cell, whether it's a sifting, whether, amen, it's the Lord just letting the devil just have free course, or whether it's a messenger of Satan in the flesh. We don't need God to fix all that. We need His grace. Now, does He sometimes fix those things for? Absolutely He does. But it's all according to His divine will.
That's right.
It's according to His divine wisdom. God knows when we will respond better to a deliverance or grace through it. He knows what's best for us. Now, I personally would rather learn from delivering from instead of grace through. We were, like all good evangelists, we start every January in Southwest Florida. And it took me 10 years to become a good evangelist that way. And we had a year, Brother Cassioli, I'll just be honest, it was the hardest year of our ministry. Just came across things like just weird stuff that we had never encountered before. I mean, I had a pastor friend who I've known forever. Just every day I was in town preaching the meeting that I was preaching for him, he was just constantly riding me, on me, threatening me, just crazy stuff. And it was like that all year long. And so come January, we're in this meeting in Florida. And it was the first week of the year, and I came down to the altar and I said, Lord, I said, could you give us a better year this year than you did last year? And the Lord immediately, in a very gentle but very rebuking way, said, do you remember what you prayed at this altar a year ago? I didn't even have to really finish. I just said, amen, Lord, and went back to my seat. I had prayed the year before at that very same altar. I said, Lord, would you use us more this year than you ever have before? Now, whether he did that or not, that's up to him. Okay, I can't say anything. But I sat there thinking about it afterwards. I'm like, Lord, well, you know, you could have brought about using me in a different way. I guess I could have prayed specifically on how I'd like you to use me more, not just a amen. But it doesn't work that way with God. He knows what we need. And for whatever reason, we can be not in necessarily the same exact scenario or situation as far as how it's manifested like Paul, but the same deal with God knows what we need so we don't get lifted and exalted above measure. And we don't need God to change it for us or fix it. We just need God's grace to handle it.
Yep.
Jesus may not do what we want him to do, but he will always do what we need him to do. We wish it was the same thing, but it's not the same thing.
Right.
Ephesians says, and having done all to stand.
Amen.
So when the messenger of Satan comes, and the trials come, are you doing all you can to stand? We think, we put this little half-hearted effort, and we think that we're just, no, we're not having done all to stand. Galatians says, be not weary in well-doing. We get, my mind is not working. Is it the Elijah syndrome? I'm the only one left.
Yeah.
Everybody else is forsaking you, Lord. But I mean, you got Brother Ashwood down there at Black Creek and Brother Cassiola, and they're good men, Lord, but they're not going what I'm going through. And they have no idea how bad my trial is. And they've never experienced what I've experienced. And God says, look, stupid, there's 7,000 that have not bowed, okay? You're not the only one. You're not the only one. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, we read verse 57 this morning, those that were at Black Creek, but I want to read the next verse too. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When is he giving us the victory? Every day, constantly, present tense, right now. Therefore, because God is giving you the victory, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you know that God will honor your labor for him, but you may not ever see it in this life? Don't say, Lord, all right, I'm going to do it, but I need you to let me know how you're going to bless me. He may one day, but what if God says, I'm just going to save all the blessings for the judgment seat. I'm not going to reveal to you in this life how I used you. Would you still keep going on for God? Man, I'll tell you, God doesn't always do it that way. Sometimes God does let you know years later.
That's right.
How you were a blessing, or how God used you, or something like that. And I'm telling you, that is an absolute blessing. Amen. Go over to Isaiah chapter 40. He said, Brother Craig, when is the encouraging part coming? Isaiah chapter 40. Verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Hey, have you forgot he is the all-powerful one? What wears you and me out has not worn him out. And the storm that you go through, the sifting that you go through, has not caught God by surprise.
Amen.
I mean, if we were to be honest, there was some time, maybe we have actually done it, but we've thought about it. Lord, have you forgot about me down here? No, he has not forgot about you. He giveth, verse 9, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Here's the encouraging part, if you will take it as encouragement. Maybe we're praying and asking God for the wrong thing. Maybe instead of asking God to deliver us from, we need to ask him to help us through.
Amen.
He says there, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. I'm not saying don't ask God to deliver you from the storm, because that's going to be my first go-to. And you probably are the same way. But my question is this. What if he doesn't?
Yep.
What if he doesn't deliver you from? Then you better switch gears and ask him to give you strength through it.
Amen.
Job 1:22, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You better be careful how you react to God about what you're going through.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. The Lord showed me this in my own life just a few years ago. Sometimes it's not the storm that's the big deal. It's my reaction to the storm.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to admit being a drama king, but I always jump from... I just jump to the worst conclusion right off the bat. I mean, I just assume the worst right from the beginning. I mean, it doesn't matter what God's done for me in the past. This is bad. This is way worse than anything I've ever gone through. It's way worse than anything you'll ever go through. I'm the only one on the planet. I know nobody here is ever like that at all. Over to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Psalm 46, look at verse number 1. God is, right now, is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Well, the New Testament reference, sister reference, cross-reference to this verse would be, giveth us the victory. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Okay. Well, Brother Craig, I know what that verse says, but I don't feel like he's near. But it doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. It says he's a very present help in trouble. When was the last time God ever told you to go based on your feelings? By faith, we believe that he is near, whether we can see him or not. We have had a weird winter up there in Maine, the most mild winter on record since they started keeping records, and we've had such shifting temperatures that we have had a lot of foggy weather this year. And it was just probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were driving home, was at another service, supporting a meeting like you all do, and I mean, out of nowhere, this fog rolled in, and I could not see the road. I knew it was there, but I couldn't see it. I was driving by faith. But guess what? Even though I couldn't see it, I knew it was there. Even though there are times when in my flesh I don't feel like I see what God is doing, but I know he's there. I don't feel it, but I know he's there. In Acts chapter 27, you remember the storm, the big storm that came up, and Paul said, boys, I don't think we need to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And then the shipmaster, he said, no, we're going. And you realize that they got thrown into this storm and the ship broke apart because of the decision of somebody else. Do you know sometimes we go through storms for the sole reason it is a result of the decision of somebody else?
Yep.
Through no fault of their own, they went through a storm. And sometimes we're plunged into dealing with a storm because of a decision somebody else made.
Yep.
And just like Acts chapter 27 in our modern day life, we'll make it to the other side. It might be on a broken board. There's the encouragement. It might be on a broken board, but we'll make it. Nobody got lost in that storm, but they ended up on broken boards, paddling for everything they were probably worth and everything they could do, but they made it. Isn't it a blessing that you don't die every time you think you're going to die? Oh, this is going to kill me. This ain't it a blessing you don't die every time you think that you're going to die? The Bible says over and over and over again, teaches us that God is faithful.
Amen.
So he may not change your circumstances. He may not come down and get you out of that prison cell. He may not tell the devil, don't sift him. Don't sift her. It may come to pass. That thorn in the flesh, that messenger might come. But God's grace is sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning it's ample. It's suited. It's what it will fit the bill. It will be what you need. Thank God for his grace. You say, Brother Craig, I get the message. I understand what you're trying to say, but you just ain't got any clue what I'm going through. I don't. Nobody this week and here, nobody has told me the hardships that they're going through. Young couple getting married, you're going to face hardships, and you know that. Just rely on the grace of God.
Amen.
It'll be sufficient. See, because we always think, as bad as our circumstances are, or as bad as other people's circumstances are, ours are worse.
That's right.
Now, I'm not making light of it, because to us, they're the most heavy
That's
thing
right.
in the world.
That's right.
I mean, it's real. It's real. Storms are real. Heartache is real. Suffering is real. Misery is real. But it's just, God's grace is just as real. God's mercy is just as real. His strength is just as real. His arm is not shortened. Amen.
Amen.
He's not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. That's the encouraging part of the depressing message. God is able.
Amen.
He's either able, he's going to show you his, he is either going to show you his ability by delivering you from the storm, or he's going to show you his ability by getting you through the storm.
Amen.
But either way, you're going to be delivered. It's like the three Hebrew children that went in the fiery furnace. They got delivered.
Amen.
They got delivered in the fire. They didn't get delivered from it. They got delivered in it. You say, well, how do I know what God's going to do? You ain't going to know what he's going to do until he does it. He doesn't. That's God knew that stuff was coming to Job. Job didn't know it was coming. And then, by and by, God gave Job everything back. Why? Because we heard a preach this week. Yeah, Job had some issues that he had to work out. And he got him straight. But in all this, he sinned not nor charged God foolishly.
Uh-huh.
Job never asked God why. I'll tell you the reason why. You want to know why you go through what you do? I'll tell you why you go through what you do. For the glory of God.
Amen.
God wants to be glorified in your life.
Amen.
He wants to be glorified in your storm, and he wants to be glorified in your life.
That'll work, brother.
His grace is sufficient. Change my circumstances. Lord said, that ain't what you need. No, you just need my grace.
Amen.
Amen. And there's plenty of it. Plenty of it. You ain't going to go up to God and say, Lord, I need that grace you was talking about. And he say, oh, I just gave the last of it to the one before you. He's got a limitless supply of grace. Grace for every need. All you need, he's it.
Amen.
Amen. Father, Lord, there again, Lord, you know, there might be some, they needed this message tonight. Some might need it down the road. But I pray, Father, when the need comes, that they would remember the promises of God and what you've said. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Jesus.